Yeah, thank you to John and Willie for sharing what God has done in your life. It's always an encouragement to hear how God is leading and working in your lives and growing you. And I think one of the most wonderful testaments to the power of the cross is to see God changing the lives of the people that are around us. To see a small portion of what he's done in your lives and redeeming what is broken in us, strengthening what is weak, making new what once was dead. So thank you both for that. As John mentioned, Pastor Chris had asked us to take care of the service. So this morning we'll take a look at Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to see a few things here. We're going to take a look at the Apostle Paul and some of his life and the things that he had been through and where those things had brought him to at the beginning of the chapter 1. And we also will take a look at the start of the church at Philippi. And this will help us to understand more of the context of the letter as Paul writes to the Christians there. And as we hear these things this morning, and as we've heard from John and Willie, and through Scripture, through the life of Paul and the Philippians, we will see that we can be confident that he which has begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you would, I'd encourage you to turn with me to the book of Philippians. And I will just start by reading the first six verses here. We read, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask a few pretty basic questions this morning, and going to start with, who was Paul? Though Paul wrote much of the New Testament, he, like everyone else, walked in opposition to God until his conversion. The first mention of Paul, also known as Saul in a bunch of Acts, is in Acts chapter 7. And we read this. This is the first mention of him. So the Jews cast Stephen out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. So that's Paul who we're asking about. And they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And just continuing a couple of verses into Acts 8:1. And Saul was consenting unto Stephen's death. And at that time, there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. So that was the last couple verses of Acts 7 and the first couple of Acts chapter 8. The first verses that we read about Paul is how he persecuted the church and did it with zeal. In Galatians chapter 1, could turn there quick. We're going to read a few verses of how Paul described who he was. Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. He says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Paul goes on to say that he was called not only through God's grace, not only to know Christ, but to preach him among the Gentiles. If we read verses 15 and the first part of 16, he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen." The change in Paul's life was so dramatic after his conversion that after a short while, in verses, if we read, jump down to verse 23 and 24, Paul says, "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in time past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me." And so, yeah, that's Paul's own description of his conversion and some of the change that had happened in his life. So now back to Philippians. About 30 years after his conversion, in writing from jail, Paul has lived a life of service to Jesus Christ, preaching and teaching as he was led by God. Through all that he has experienced, imprisonments, beatings, riots, jailings, shipwrecks, he still gladly calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. So we read, "Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ," in verse 1 of chapter 1 in Philippians. Timothy would have been with Paul when the Philippian church was started. And now as Paul writes to the Philippians, he also was with Paul. And we see later in Philippians, Paul says of Timothy, "But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." Just of note in the start of the book of Philippians here is the fact that Paul doesn't emphasize the fact of his apostleship. He just calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ. And there are letters in the New Testament where he does more emphasize his authority as an apostle, and that should be taken note of. But here we just see that he has this tone of affection more towards the Philippians, even in the introduction here. So if we finish verse 1, he writes, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." We're going to flip back to Acts. And Acts 16 is where we read about the church starting in the city of Philippi. And there are helpful descriptions of Paul's time there and the people that he encountered in that city. So this is on Paul's second missionary journey, around 15 years after his conversion, and maybe about 15 years before he writes the letter to the Philippians. We're going to read I'm going to read most of chapter 16, but it just reads like a narrative, and I encourage you to follow along, or if you have a maps in the back of your Bible, you'd maybe want to look at, find a map that has Paul's second missionary journey on it, and you can find some of the places that are referenced here. So this is Acts 16, verses 6, starting at verse 6. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city, abiding certain days. There's a lot of travel just happened right there. And on the Sabbath, verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gain was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew him into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeants, saying, Let those men go. And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, They have beaten us openly uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they had heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So that was a longer passage, but I didn't know how to shorten it up. But we see in there that God directed Paul into Macedonia, which led him to the city of Philippi, which was the chief city of that area. And we also learn that Philippi was a Roman colony, which gave the city and those in it special status in the Roman Empire. And we're introduced to several people who are key to the start of the church there. The first of those being Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, and she was baptized along with her household. She ended up hosting Paul and those with him during his time there. The second key person was the jailer, who, after what happened in the earthquake and hearing the instruction from Paul and Silas, believed in God and was baptized along with all of his house. And the third person to mention is the servant girl. Her life was changed drastically when the spirit was cast out by Paul. Though it doesn't say she became a believer, it is likely that she too was converted. But in her story, we see the power of God over all spiritual realms, in contrast to the fear and bondage that were before. These are some of the people that Paul is now writing to. And if we move back to Philippians, he writes to them still in verse 1, "To all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." So some of these people, Lydia and the jailer and even the possessed girl, these are people that Paul is now referring to as saints, and addressing them. He does note, include bishops and deacons in his intro here, which puts them, you know, sets them out as someone that he's writing more specifically to as well. It's just so as you were to read the rest of the letter, you would see that he is writing to the leaders of the church. Saints in Christ Jesus. Saints refers to someone who is set apart, specifically believers who are set apart by God for himself. The Greek word is often translated holy. And this word saints applies to all of us. If you are known of God today, you are set apart as his. And the things Paul writes to the saints are applicable to you. Further, if you're a Christian, you are set apart in Christ Jesus. We are not saints because of our own righteousness, but because we are in Christ Jesus, in his righteousness is imputed to us. MacArthur notes that in Paul's letters, the phrase "in Christ Jesus" occurs 50 times, "in Christ" 29 times, and "in the Lord" 45 times. Being in Christ Jesus and therefore acceptable to God is the believer's supreme source of joy. We move into verse 2. We read, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Grace and peace are wonderful things to have before a holy God, and it is extended towards the recipients of this letter. Got to keep them flat, otherwise the fan blows them away. Included in this would be the jailer, who had been a part of Paul's persecution in Philippi. It's okay, Frank. But he too was now in Christ, and grace and peace were his. And yeah, just thinking about back to even Paul, he is under grace and peace, even after his initial reading, what we heard of him, how he persecuted the church. You know, God's forgiveness and grace is extended even to him, and now he's extending it further to someone who even persecuted Paul. And not only is grace and peace extended to these people, Paul goes on in verse 3 to say, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Why did Paul have so much joy as he prayed for the Philippians? If we read verse 5, he says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. As Paul looked from when the church was started to now as he writes the letter, he was joyful because of the fellowship which they had shown in the gospel and the work which Paul was about. They had continued in contact and support of Paul's ministry, and this brought joy. Paul is thankful to God for their fellowship in the gospel, verse 5, from the first day until now. And then verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The second thing Paul is thankful for is his confidence in God, that God will complete the work he has begun in Lydia, the jailer, and others in that church, until the day of Jesus Christ. This is God's faithfulness in action. If Paul had confidence in this way, we too must believe, even when we are in a low spot, that God is at work in us. We need to continue to come to him and to be renewed, and to trust that he is with us, working in us, towards the time when we will be in the presence of God for eternity, free from the penalty of sin, free from the power of sin, and free from the presence of sin. The gospel changed the lives of those we have heard about this morning. It transformed the Apostle Paul, Lydia, the jailer, and the possessed girl. It can be hard to believe the gospel's simple message, that Christ took our place on the cross and bore our sins to satisfy the wrath of a holy God. But if we believe that and accept the offer God extends towards us, that in Christ we are forgiven, God sees us no longer as destined for judgment, but in light of the love he has towards his Son. If you have accepted that, you now receive grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So to close this morning, I trust that we'll be encouraged and challenged to walk worthy of the gospel, to remember that this is not our home, that our end is to be with God and to know and be known by him, and that God is calling us and wants us to be faithful representations to those around us here. These things should shape our perspective and fill our hearts with joy and hope in the midst of the trials and pain that we face in the world today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace towards us and the work that you're doing in our lives. Father, thank you that we can have confidence that in you we are yours, and you are working in us to make us more like your Son. And Father, we just pray that that would continue, that you would help us to grow, to be obedient to your word. And we thank you for the things that Willie and John shared earlier as well, and just the encouragement that that is. And we praise you and thank you for who you are. Amen.